I want you to take your Bible and turn to James chapter 4. I read this to you a few moments ago. Hebrews, James in the New Testament, right before 1 Peter. James chapter 4. Verse number 4. Says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world. Notice it says the friendship of the world. We also think about the friendship with the world. But what he's saying, sometimes a friend, the world wants to be friends with you. The world comes to you and says, I'm going to be your friend. I'm looking out for your well-being. You need me. You want me. And I want to be with you. I want to make you happy. The friendship of the world coming toward us is enmity with God. They're trying to make a friend with us, and when they do, if we allow them to make friends with us, we become an enemy of God. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? See, there, listen, we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Scripture doesn't say vain that our spirit lusts, it wants, it envies the things of the world. Verse 6, but he giveth more grace. God will help you through this. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. What do we do? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Stop thinking we have everything just fine. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God gave us this country. Let us not let it slip away. First, I want to say, number one, we have a nation under siege. If you read through the Bible often, and in fact through history, you hear of these cities, these nations coming under siege. And what that means is another nation, another army comes and they surround the city. And they may not be able to get over the wall into the city, but neither can the city come out. We'll say, what's the problem with that? There's no fields in the city. If there are no fields, eventually the food is going to run out outside the city. And they can cut that off. And the siege is really just a matter of waiting them out till they finally surrender. They starve them. And if they finally decide to fight, they're too weak to make the fight. You hear of, even in the Bible, there was times when to try to fight off starvation, they ate their own babies. Satan is seeking to take this nation captive. Satan has people as surrogates. Those are people who that he can get to do the dirty work while he just kind of stays out of the spotlight. Satan plays up to our lust, the lust of the flesh. The world says, come, let's do it my way. I'm your friend. Used to be a little premarital sex, and then it was adultery, then homosexuality, now transgenderism, or polyamory, which is multiple partners in a supposedly marriage. Bestiality is right around the corner. And we've had it in our area. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Satan wants us consumed with the wealth and the toys of this world. We work for more toys and more trinkets. We seek the things of this world rather than the things of the Lord. We are trading treasures of heaven for the pleasures of hell. We're consumed with possessions. We work for them, even take time away from God to have them. And if we still can't afford them, there are some in our society who will take them by force. I mean, it used to be petty theft, shoplifting, then grand theft, then looting. Now it's mass mobs swarming into a place of business and taking anything they can hold, smashing grabs, driving a vehicle into a storefront, then taking whatever is not nailed down. Some literally chaining an ATM to a truck and dragging it away. We have to keep the toothpaste and the soap behind locked windows. And Satan appeals to the pride of life. Only by pride cometh contention. If Satan can get us to put our pride in gear, he can cause us to contend with one another, even to the point of destroying each other, or at least to divide us. This is Pride Month. We're almost through one for this year. Listen, God loves those people, but he despises their sin like anybody else's sin, including ours. But they want to throw it in your face. We're queer and we're here. Why is it they always have to prove who they are? It's called pride. And pride will destroy us. We've come to a place in our nation that we are trying to be inclusive, and by being inclusive, we are segregating ourselves into different areas, different races, different sexualities. Why don't we all just be the people of God? I've got to take pride in mine. I've got to take pride in this. You realize that there was a time in our nation when you could say, hiring, Irish need not apply. I'm Irish. But that's not here anymore. Yet Satan wants to drag it all up again. A house divided against itself shall fall. This is where wars come from. People will kill someone for simply looking at them for the wrong way. Even churches will divide over senseless, selfish, and personal opinion and comfort. First Corinthians 3 says, there's among you envy and strife and divisions. Speaking to the church in Corinth, are you not carnal and walk as men? There's a welfare mentality in our nation, which, by the way, will lead us to socialism or to communism. There is no sense of duty or personal responsibility. Many people think that government should be their God. Government should provide all their needs according to their riches in Washington. That's what they think, but frankly, it's according to the riches that are in our pockets. Has to come somewhere. Washington doesn't pay for it. Thomas Jefferson said, a government big enough to give you everything you want is a government big enough to take away everything you have. We have a nation under siege. The sinful mentality will take over our nation if we do not confess and forsake it. We are currently surrounding our nation. This is currently surrounding our nation in siege, and it will cause us to surrender to our adversary. Satan is very patient, and he will wait until we destroy ourselves, till we're so weak that we can't fight, and we come out waving the white flag with our hands up. Number two, we have a nation under sin. A nation under sin. We want to be able to sin and even pray in full assurance that God will still bless America. We want to sin and still be able to pray for God to bless America. John Adams said, we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Ambition, revenge, gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution is designed only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for any other. Adams also said in his farewell address that religion and morality were the great pillars of human happiness and that national morality could not exist in exclusion upright without having to get God into it. I've never seen our nation as close to total debauchery as it is today. I believe truth has indeed fallen in the streets. Quickly, number three. I'm afraid that we may soon have a nation under the sword. I mentioned earlier that Battle Hymn of the Republic was written during the time of the Civil War. And there were many in the nation, including the one who authored that hymn. Abraham Lincoln quotes and says that he felt like this was probably the hand of God chastising our nation because we have become intoxicated with unending success, that we fear we do not need God. If the sword came to God's own people, which it did, his chosen people, and destroyed their homeland and carried them away captive, can we expect to be given leniency and clemency and not face the same thing? Fourthly, we need a nation under the Savior. We need a nation under the Savior. We need to put ourselves under Him. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I've got her under my thumb. I've got him under my thumb. And that means they're kind of controlling them. You know what? There's an awful lot of people, including Christians, who do not want to be under God. This is one nation under God. What does that mean? We're under God. But if you read in the Old Testament, it talks about how, he says that God wants, in fact, even Jesus said this. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have taken you under my wing as a hen does her chicks. But ye would not. God said, I want you under me, where the protection is, where I can provide for you, where I can watch over you. Nope, I'm good. What is that? Pride. I don't want to be under anybody. We as Americans have forgot the reason we're on top is because we're under God. And if we fail to be under God, we won't be on top much longer. Our current president recently talked about how we have the greatest nation, the greatest economy in all the world, and he was taking credit for it. We may still have the greatest nation, the greatest economy in the world. But it's not because we're going this way. It's just that we've been so high, we haven't come down below it yet. Number four. No, I overgave you number four. We say our motto is in God we trust. And yet the vast majority of American citizens cannot find time to go to God's house. In fact, there's quite a few in our nation that would love to get that motto taken off every place they can get it off. Now watch me. They're seeking, they're coming in, they're creeping in, seeking whom they may destroy. Do you understand that? This nation is what it is because God has had a hand on it, because there were people who were not perfect and who probably weren't all saved, but they knew and feared God. Listen, you know what? You don't have to use our terminology to be saved. What do you got to believe? You're a sinner. And there's a holy and a righteous God who for some reason in His mercy sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross and shed His blood, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you realize that that was in the Bible when we had our revolution? When they wrote the Constitution? That was in the Bible and they believed it? They might do everything the same way we do it, but that's not what it takes to get saved. They feared God. You'd say we trust God, but don't have time for His house. Our schedules are too full. I read an article recently. It was quoting the Pope, not that we're Catholic, but it was quoting the Pope. And you know what the Pope said? He said that the priests need to keep the homily, that's what they call their little message each week, they need to keep the homily short. I hate to say it's already a sorry example of the preaching of the Word of God. But he said, keep the homily short to about 8 minutes, because folks will begin to zone out, and he didn't say that word, but they will fall asleep if it's much longer than that. Why is a nation like it is? We're starving for the Word of God. We're starving for the water of life. We're starving for the bread of life. And we wonder why we can't face tomorrow, why we cannot face the enemy, why we just let the enemy siege us and take us over. We say in God we trust, But we spend our tithe on the lotto in the casino. I be honest with you, I couldn't believe that they could put a casino in Galleria Mall and it would do any good. It would be able to make a living there. I thought our people were smarter than that. I thought the people in our area, even if they're Christian or not, were not dumb enough to do that. And the lottery, you know what that is? That's a tax on being stupid. I'm sorry. Are there a few people who want? Sure there are, but I'll tell you, there's a reason why they do it. And the reason why they say they're going to have funds left over. And how many people actually get any funds out of? Oh, a few here. Well, I spent $100, but I got five back. I got five back last week. And they're going to give you $100. You know what you're going to do? You're going to take it back. You're going to spend it anyway. Put it right back in there because you think it's free money. We pledge allegiance to one nation under God and then proceed to fly the flag of pride that goes against God. We are convinced that we have the right to sin against God who gave us this great nation. God gave it, and God can take it away. Satan is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and we must resist him steadfast in the faith, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. John Adams said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral, religious people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Our problem is not in Washington. Our problem is in the church houses all across America. I grew up United Methodist. Years ago, they used to talk about the shouting Methodist. And now the Methodists want to ordain homosexuals. And it split the denomination right down the middle. They want to be relevant to the world. May I remind you, friendship of the world is enmity with God. Do you realize when you open the door to the world, you're slamming the door to God on the other side? We may not have everything right with God, but we've all slammed the door shut to the world and open the door wide here and see what he's got. The Southern Baptist Convention recently had a convention out in Indianapolis. They wanted to make a constitutional amendment to the convention. And if they do so, they have to take a vote. It has to be at least 2/3, 2 years in a row. You follow what I'm saying? So last year they took a vote, and the vote was that pastors and teachers should remain, as the Bible says, from the men. And they got 80% vote in positive to it. So this year they came in and thought, well, this will be no problem. Let's put it up for vote. Now they need 66. Last year they had 80%. This year they got 61%. More than a third have changed their mind in 1 year. The Southern Baptist, that means there's more than a third of the representatives at their convention no longer believe this book. They want to be relevant. Again, number five. We need a nation under God once again. There are people in our nation who warn against what is called Christian nationalists, including our current president. He calls them right-wing extremists. However, they're supposed to represent all of us with impartiality. And yet he calls these citizens a threat to democracy. Many people with national voices claim that Christian nationalism is something new and is something to be feared. If you have listened to the words of our songs this morning, you will hear the philosophy of Christian nationalism. These songs were written many years ago. Their copyrights are long since expired, such as, "Our Father, God to Thee, Author of Liberty, of Thee we sing. America the beautiful, God shed His grace on Thee. God of our fathers, in this free land by Thee our lot is cast." I remember years ago when I was in college, see, this is nothing new. I had a professor who named a church. I wasn't going to the church yet, but I knew where the church was. It was a church where I ended up, where I came from before I came here, an Independent Baptist church. He named that church by name in my class with the other students in that college as a cult. He said it was a new interpretation of the old scriptures. No one ever thought about this before. I knew better than that. I grew up Methodist. I got a hold of John Wesley's Book of Discipline. And I went all the way through that. I went to these churches, these Independent Baptist and Independent Bible churches, and took tracts out of the track record, listened to the messages, and took notes. And you know what they were doing? They were preaching the exact same gospel that was found in here. That's not new. You know why it seemed new? Because we have failed to pass on the truth as a nation from generation to generation. I remember going to the Sword of the Lord and hearing music that I had never heard before. It was old stuff to them, but I'd never heard it before. I wasn't an Independent Baptist. And I listened, I thought, this is really good. And I remember looking over at my pastor, we were sitting in the same pew, and I said, "This is really good." He says, "Yeah, it is." You know, he was surprised that a 21-year-old, 22-year-old liked this stuff. It was brand new to me. And the world thinks this is brand new. It's not new. It was conceived before the foundation of the world. The Center for American Progress states this: "Today, conflicts most often arise from Christian nationalism. The anti-democratic notion that America is a nation by and for Christians. At its core, this idea threatens the principle of the separation of church and state and undermines the establishment clause of the First Amendment. It also leads to discrimination and at times ideology in the religious, also a contributing, I'm sorry, ideology of the religious rights, misuse of religious liberty as a rationale for circumventing laws and regulations aimed at protecting a pluralistic democracy such as non-discrimination protections for LGBTQI+. Now, you may or may not want to be labeled a Christian nationalist due to a variety of definitions associated with that term. However, listen to me. Psalm 33 says this: "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. One of our founding fathers, Robert Winthrop, said, listen, man in a world must necessarily, in a word, must necessarily be controlled either by a power within them or by a power without them, either by the word of God or by the strong arm of man, either by the Bible or by the bayonet. Listen, whether our nation wants to be called a Christian nation or not, the fact of the matter is, if we want to be blessed and protected by God, the Lord must be our God. Let me finish up here. Our nation is under siege, so it needs to be under the Savior. We need to take a stand, or we will no longer be able to stand. Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Be willing to give the gospel of Jesus Christ out. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. They're coming over the wall. We're under siege. Do you trust God's word? Do you trust his truth? Are you steadfast in what he's saying? We are to, listen, we are to resist the devil and he'll flee. And we resist him how? Steadfast in the faith. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. In other words, stay at it. That's what it means. Stay at it. Don't just put it on tomorrow. Put it on tomorrow. Put it on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday even, and then Monday and then Tuesday and then Wednesday and then Thursday and then Friday and then Saturday and then Sunday and then Monday and Tuesday. Watch me every day. Be perseverant. Put on the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand, because if you don't put it on, sure shooting, the devil's going to be able to put that sword in. Where is it? Between which two ribs is it? Under the fifth rib. Whatever that means, I think it's right about where your heart is. When's the last time you gave someone the gospel? Watch me. Presidents don't win wars. Generals don't win wars. It is the foot soldiers on the battlefield that win the wars. That means us. That means us. Father, we thank you for your word, for the truths. These are tough words, I understand. Lord, this world has been around this cycle before. Again, Brother Nathan was talking about that in Sunday school. We get fat and happy and we think we don't need you. We stop paying attention to you. We stop hiding your word in our heart. We stop putting on the whole armor of God. Before we know it, we're out playing with the enemy. And the enemy says he wants to be our friend. And we're too stupid to say no because we've been away from your word and your wisdom too long. And we don't understand why it would be wrong. And we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. And sin, when it's conceived, lust, when it's conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. And the enemy has won and never shot a single arrow. Lord, help us to have your wisdom. Let us stand. Let us work for our families. Save our families. Save our town. Save our state. Save our nation. It's still possible. You've done it before.